Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Madden!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey, Banti. Welcome. Greetings to our reader listeners as well. So, Banti, how are things? What's been happening?
Things are good, Rohit. As you've been busy with work, I've been also bouncing around the place a fair bit on work. So it's good to be back in touch on the podcast. I know quite a lot of interesting episodes have gone out. I'm looking forward to talking about a range of different things today. So what's first on our plates today, Rohit?
So I think the big story, Banti, is really the election results in five states, right? So Telangana, Mizoram, and then the big three in the heartland, which flipped from the BJP to the Congress, that's Chhattisgarh, Rajasthan, and Madhya Pradesh. And I think that to me, what's, you know, there's tons to be discussed here, but I think the BJP was already anticipating that they were going to lose. And the way one knew that was going to happen is that, you know, all the pro-BJP anchors, duo on Times Now and this other guy on Z, Sudhir Chaudhary, who was at some point arrested for extortion. They started, even before the results were out, they started saying that these results were not in any way a referendum on the 2019 elections. But you know, to me, there's something very interesting that happened out here, which is that A, you can never take the Indian voter for granted. B, there is an element of, you know, Modi having neglected agriculture. That's what everyone says. But I also wonder if, you know, the communalism that's associated now with the BJP, even in these heartland states, which have these, you know, pro-cow policies, even with Congress governments, whether that was a line too far. So lots to talk about there. And, you know, does this signal the maturity of Rahul Gandhi or his coming of age and so on?
I think what we always promise our listeners, what we'll try and do is give as balanced a perspective, because we are not funded, bankrolled, or beholden to particular political positions. So my take on it is on both fronts, whether this is a 2019 pre-call, you know, precursor to 2019, and whether Rahul Gandhi is one of the most mature Congress leaders in the making. On both, the jury's out. It's too early to say anything.
Yeah.
So the first point is these three elections in the heartland, are they indicative of what will come in the general election scheduled in the future? My response to that, and again, limited by the amount of information that I have and privy to and have consumed in public media, is no, it's not a dress rehearsal for anything. There were three important states with significant entrenched incumbency of the BJP, which got flipped over. Now, was this preventable? Because, you know, the BJP likes to think of itself as, you know, the kings of the election game over the last 5 to 7 years, that they have kind of state after state, they have kind of taken over. Mm-hmm. I think the interesting point for me was the fact that democracy hasn't been steamrolled, which means that irrespective of how effectively the BJP election machinery was working, there was a counterpoint to it which worked on this occasion, right? And for a democratic society and democratic functioning, that is really good. Because if we got into a habit where no matter what elections happen, BJP rout the opposition, and the opposition in India is at the moment very fragmented and very disjointed. Apparently, Mamata Banerjee didn't congratulate Rahul Gandhi because she's scheming away trying to become a prime ministerial number, which will again be an utter disaster for the country anyway. But that's a separate topic. It is not, in my view, a call out for the address rehearsal for the general election. And to the second point, Does this mean Rahul Gandhi is one of the kind of a well-deserving Congress leader? Again, the answer to that, it's too early to say, because these states that have flipped over have done so on the back of significant incumbency. Too early to tell whether, you know, Rahul Gandhi's inputs in that made a credible point. I think the chief minister's choice in Madhya Pradesh is Digvijay Singh.
No, it's that, Kamal Nath.
That guy has got a shady track record, Rohit, if I recollect. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah. So that is, you know, that's the other sort of interesting part of this, which is how the Congress has, you know, kind of gone about selecting chief ministerial candidates. And on the one hand, you know, Rahul Gandhi said that he would really ask the party workers, you know, the rank and file, the soldiers on the ground, you know, what they felt about who would be the best prime ministerial candidate, chief ministerial candidate in each state. That's one. So there is an element of democracy there. The second, internal democracy. The second thing is that the Congress has been cautious in each of these three states not to show internal discord. So there was talk that, you know, in each state there were, you know, a couple of contenders, whether it's, you know, it's Gehlot or it's Sachin Pilot in Rajasthan, or it's, you know, Sindhya or Kamal Nath in MP, who were, you know, basically, or I'm maybe switching one of them, like vying for chief ministership. But, you know, they've put up a concerted front. Kamal Nath should not have been in the fray anyways, because, you're right that, you know, there's evidence. There are people, I mean, there's a journalist who's written a book saying that he saw him with a mob that eventually set two Sikhs alive. I think his, you know, forget the legalese, the legalities. I mean, I know, you know, more than I wish I did about those 1984 riots. I mean, you know, my family has some lawyers who knew some people, and this, you know, the culpability of Congress leaders in anti-Sikh riots was very clear. So Kamal Nath should not have been part of that at all. And I was quite disappointed today to see a tweet by Shashi Tharoor where he said that, you know, just as we should give Modi the benefit of doubt in 2002, we should give Kamal Nath the benefit of doubt for 84. And that's, you know, in a way, that's vintage Shashi Tharoor. That's sort of very glib, and it's smoothly done and played, and it's a good rhetorical move. But you know, Kamal Nath is tainted, and I think in the way that Modi's also tainted. So I think that's not been very good. And that brings me to another thing, which is that in these states, I think we are still, this is not in any way a victory for secularism, because we are still going to see, my sense is that we are still seeing a soft communalism. We saw it in the run-up to the elections. We've seen it in Rahul Gandhi's, you know, sudden discovery of temples and his newfound Hinduism. There's already talk by Congress people of making the cow the Rashtramata. They made promises about, you know, some Gauraksha rights and all of that. And they've put someone who's, you know, communal guy. So the question is that, yeah, you may be sort of less intense and vile than an Amit Shah or a Modi. I mean, that's my personal opinion, but have you really made a significant difference?
Yeah, I think, are we getting into a race? I mean, the final point is, did Congress win these elections, apart from the incumbency, by trying to prove that they were more Hindu than the BJP? Because, you know, there has been, so when somebody like Kamal Nath kind of creeps to the front of the row.
I think the point they're trying to prove is that we are not Hindu in the nasty way of dragging out Muslims and setting them on fire, because for us, that's not Hindu, but we are Hindu enough that we also believe that Hindus deserve some special privileges. So, in some way, it's a kind of contradiction of the secular values that the Congress otherwise professes to stand for. So absolutely, you know, they are more Hindu in the BJP heartland or in the heartland of North India than they are otherwise, or they are more Hindutva, let me put it that way. So, you know, they are trying to really, you know, play the Hindu card and the Hindutva card. And I think that in this case, they may have pulled it off. But again, I think that was one factor. My sense is that along with anti-incumbency, I think it's basically the neglect of really the interests of vast sections of the population. I mean, especially the agricultural sector, that I think has made a huge difference. And I don't think it's been lost on voters. You know, they, Indian voters are theoretically very sophisticated. Let's just set aside the question of formal education. I mean, India has amazingly high rates of voter turnout. You look at the political apathy in the US, and it's, you know, the contrast is stark. But, you know, I think the fact that Modi, I mean, this week there was another story saying that in response to perhaps a RTI query or something, his 84 trips abroad, including to countries where, you know, I mean, other than some kind of arrangement to provide yogurt or something, really had no real sort of stake in. It's cost taxpayers 2,000 crores, right? 2,000 crores, I think. So I think in some ways the messaging machine of the Congress and of social media also did play a role out here.
Well, look, we had to signal to our listeners that we have taken cognizance of the fact that there's been a shift in electoral fortunes of the Congress Party. We also needed to put it out there that, you know, we are not beholden to one party over another, though it sometimes comes across that, you know, we are constantly having a go at the BJP. That is because they do stuff which is go-worthy, if you see what I mean. You know, they're repeatedly doing stuff that kind of goes against common sense and normal civic, decent civic values. So in that way, we've kind of called out what we think about this election, and we'd love to hear what our listeners think of it.
Yeah, I think we do have some people sending in comments, which we really do appreciate. So just keep the comments coming. All right, let's wrap this up here, man. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.